Mission to the Unreached, Part 2, Commentary for the December 16, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He taught in their synagogues. He preached the good news of the kingdom, and he healed every illness and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt deep concern for them. They were treated badly and were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is huge, but there are only a few workers." Matthew 9, verses 35 through 37. When I was pastoring in the Pacific Northwest and in the Midwest, I always placed a high emphasis on winning members to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. After all, we teach that we are the remnant church, the final faithful church for the end times, the church that will greet Jesus with open arms when he returns to take his people home to heaven, where we will live for 1,000 years before returning to a newly recreated earth. It only made sense, then, that everyone should want to join that church to prepare. But why that church and not others? The remnant church is identified in the King James Version of the Bible in Revelation as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. In the minds of the denomination's founders, this provided a distinct demarcation between those headed for salvation and those not. The commandments of God were equated with the Decalogue, and while other denominations continued to urge a morality aligned with those precepts, they did not see any import in the commandment regarding the Sabbath. Therefore, this became an important thrust for evangelism. While most of Christianity has substituted Sunday for the biblical Sabbath, despite no biblical command to do so, this is seen by Adventists as a Babylonian attempt to confuse and mislead the people of God. A key part of evangelism, then, is to pull people out of that confusion, out of Babylon, to be saved. Another key element of Seventh-day Adventism is the acceptance of the prophetic role of Ellen White. This is based on the idea that the testimony of Jesus in Revelation is the spirit of prophecy in Revelation 19, verse 10. For this reason, the many writings of Ellen White are often referred to collectively as the spirit of prophecy. What exactly that means has never been completely settled within the denomination. A strong current of fundamentalism has existed within Adventism that swept through the church beginning a few years after Ellen White's death and is still seeking control of the denomination into the present. The key elements of that fundamentalism are a belief in an inerrant Bible, usually referring to the King James Version, and a related inerrancy of Ellen White and her writings. Both shibboleths are under increasing challenge as unsupportable. Fundamentalists tend to brush the challenges off as end times apostasy. But the inability to face the challenges academically has resulted in a growing progressive element within the denomination that sees the failure to recognize these problems as disingenuous at best and outright deception at worst. But this only sets the stage for a more profound problem with Adventist evangelism. Because we differentiate ourselves from other denominations in this way, the result is that we target our evangelism at members in those denominations to come out of Babylon and unite with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have not been very successful at drawing them from established relationships with those other denominations by being more loving, because we often are not. We have a lot of work to do in that area. Instead, we drive them through fear of eternal loss for not keeping the biblical Sabbath. Of course, we have our 28 fundamental beliefs, based initially on a belief statement voted in Dallas, Texas, at a general conference session over 40 years ago, but it is the Sabbath that is the driving wedge to separate these sheep from their current flocks. While every denomination, every church, has members who are disgruntled for various reasons, some of those who joined the Adventist Church were strong supporters of the churches they were in before. As a result, Adventists developed the reputation of being sheep stealers. When I was pastoring in the Midwest, I was having dinner one evening with my wife in a restaurant in Kansas, and we could overhear a conversation from another booth talking about those sheep-stealing Adventists. I don't know if they were aware of our presence, but it was eye-opening to hear my denomination being seen from that perspective. Many years later, I understand how they may have felt. One of the things that surprised me while doing evangelism and personal Bible studies with individuals and families was that even after acknowledging that the arguments for becoming Adventists were sound, they still chose to remain with their current church family in another denomination. This puzzled me until I learned why. We have a greater emphasis within Adventism on being right as opposed to being loving. We see evangelism as a debate to be won rather than winning hearts through love. That is how I initially became an Adventist over 50 years ago. Those studying with me won the argument as to who was right. Naturally, as a young pastor, I set out to do the same. It has taken me that half century to learn better. The church's relationship to Christ is often described as a marriage. Imagine if every marriage that took place was a matter of winning an argument instead of a matter of the heart. Doubtless some marriages are driven by fear rather than love. I am pregnant, so we need to get married. Or, I'm getting older, I need to get married before it is too late. Or, we need to get married because neither of us has enough financial support to have the lifestyle we want alone. While these are all arguments for getting married, they can all be gateways to being trapped in a loveless marriage. The same can happen to our relationship with God. We join a church because that church has won the argument for our loyalty, but the love is not there. We remain because we do not know anything better. Won by argument, we continue until a better argument comes along. If a church is not loving, if a church does not mentor members into a loving relationship with God, if a church does not model that love to those outside the church as well as those within, we should not be surprised that sheep stray, drawn by loving kindness they have not experienced before. Lest it be thought that I am saying this in defense of Adventist sheep stealing, it is not. In most cases, those sheep are still stuck in the better argument stage of their relationship with their church and are straying because an Adventist evangelist is winning that argument. But sheep stray from Adventist pastors also, because they found that love does not come with winning that debate. Instead of the loving showers of blessing one might expect from a loving God, they find a pastor dwelling on the same idea of winning the argument with sermons as dry as the hills of Gilboa, preaching to hearts hardened by battle and debate instead of softened by love. An internet acronym is FOMO, F-O-M-O. It means fear of missing out. We fear anything that might cause us to miss out on heaven, so we retreat into our denominational enclaves, seeking safety from a world filled with threats. Instead of asking ourselves, what is the loving thing, we ask, what is the safe thing? When we do that, we declare by our example that God is not loving. God is not able to protect us. Therefore, he probably won't protect you either. Be afraid. The best argument for evangelism is a loving Christian. When we walk by on the other side, as the priest and the Levite did in the parable of the Good Samaritan, for fear of what might happen if we get involved, our faith becomes only an outward show and not a matter of the heart. No doubt the priest and Levite could give many arguments why one should follow their teachings, but their fear betrayed their lack of love. Love and fear cannot coexist. The entire Bible is simply a choice that began in Eden. Which version of God will you live by? At the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the serpent presented to Eve the idea that God was withholding from them their full potential. Because of that fear, Eve imbibed. And Adam, through his fear that God would cause him to lose Eve, also tasted. To compound their error, they blamed God for creating the situation. We still make that choice every day. Do we choose the loving character of God that John the Apostle shared with us in his gospel and epistles? Or do we choose the fearful character of God that is portrayed in parts of the Bible instead? Where there is fear, there is manipulation. While love is an action, fear is a reaction. We all might ask, when we're not loving, what fear is driving our lack of love? What would be the loving alternative? Sheep will follow a loving voice. If we wish to avoid the loss of sheep from the flock, we might ask ourselves, if the image of God we present is loving in character, or through our fear, do we model an angry God ready with retribution? If the latter is true with us, the fearful flock will stray. If we really want to be a spiritual mentor to others, and if God is love, we will love them out of their fear and into the loving embrace of a relationship with God. It is the only thing that will save them and us both. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with helpful footnotes, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can find hundreds of other commentaries and podcasts there as well, and also a link to books written by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.